Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 5 years, been asking the Franchise for Doors 101. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, and I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and we have a great show today. We're meeting with Steve Baxter, who is the general manager and global mid-market solutions of SapMetrics. And SapMetrics is a leading provider of cloud-based customer experience software for companies worldwide. As co-developer of the industry-leading Net Promoter methodology, their applications deliver full process support to help companies reduce customer churn, mobilize loyal promoters, generate more powerful insights, and drive customer obsession through accountability. And that's coming right up on Franchise Interviews.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future, and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open? Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? For over 4 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Check out our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys, and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. Get 3 months of free advertising when you sign up for our one-year package. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 5 years, we've been asking the franchisepreneurs a one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and as we were saying earlier, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Steve Baxter, who's the general manager and global mid-market solutions of SapMetrics. And SapMetrics is a leading provider of cloud-based customer experience software for companies worldwide. Hey, Steve, how you doing today? Welcome to the show.
I'm great, Marty. Thank you. How are you?
Great. Thanks for coming on the show, Steve. You know, you wouldn't know this. I teach for Kaplan University, and one of the lessons we actually have is on net promoters. So part of my students' homework going forward is they have to listen to this interview. So that's great. I was really excited to have
Let
you
Let me know
on
if I can help you.
Absolutely. That'll be fantastic. We'd like to ask our guest, where are you calling from this morning, Steve?
I'm in Denver today.
Oh, good.
I have to think about it. I'm pretty much in a different city every day, but today, and sometimes different country, but today Denver.
That's fantastic. I was reading a little bit about your biography, and you have an excellent resume. Maybe you could tell our guests like a little bit about what you were doing before joining Satmetrics.
Sure. Well, by education, I'm an engineer, but fortunately, I figured out fairly early on in my life that I was going to make a pretty useless engineer. but I'm not a bad salesman. I discovered the software industry about 20 years ago, and I got into it, and probably explains my current hairstyle. I got into the software industry in the in the early 90s. Been in it ever since. I'm very entrepreneurial, and in the last 8 years or so, I've run my own company, a couple of companies.
Right.
My most recent company that I started was a company that sort of evangelized and brought Net Promoter into the franchising industry. I formed a company called Sustino, which later became Listen 360, and for about 5 years there we were bringing I was bringing NPS into the franchising industry, and most recently with Satmetrics.
Wow, that's fantastic. For our listeners, Net Promoter is famous to me. I'm very familiar with it. But if you could talk maybe a little bit about Net Promoter scores, Stephen, and what are they, and why do businesses use them?
Right. Well, the Net Promoter score is one very simple metric to help you understand precisely what's going on with respect to your organization. Somebody said, I can't remember who it was now, that said that NPS is the one number that if it went down, you could call me in the middle of the night and I would know precisely, the importance of that phone call.
Right.
And it's a leading indicator of growth with over decades worth of research that's gone into this. We know that those companies who have got a high Net Promoter score will become leaders in that industry, or already are leaders in their particular industry. And those people with a very low Net Promoter score are generally laggards and either perform very average within the industry or are declining.
The way I've always described it was funny because there's a great, and I'm sure you saw it, it's on YouTube, and it's a great little promotion, kind of like an animation for your service, Net Promoter, and it talks about customers who love you guys so much that they tell other customers, and that's the way I've always described the service as well. Why is customer feedback so important to the growth of the success of a business, Steve?
Well, what's important is establishing which categories your customers are in, and then taking the correct action or enabling action for each one of those particular categories. And when it comes to Net Promoter Score, first of all, let me tell you how we calculate the score. It's very simple. We categorize your customers into one of three categories. They're either promoters, passives, or detractors. We establish that category by asking one very simple question. I'm sure if anybody's done a survey, they've seen this question somewhere along the way. The question is, how likely is it that you'd recommend this brand to a friend or a business associate?
Right.
And typically, the response is on a 0 to 10 scale, 0 being very unlikely and 10 being very likely. And those customers who answer 0 through 6 are detractors. Those people who answer 7 or an 8 are passive, and those who answer 9 or a 10 are promoters. And what we do is we look at the total percentage of promoters, and we subtract from that the total percentage of detractors. That number is your Net Promoter Score. The highest it can be is 100, which means all of your customers are promoters, and the lowest it can be is minus 100, which means everybody's a detractor. Now, what is the right score? What is a good score? That depends very much on the industry. Certain industries, like cable TV and airlines, for example, typically have a lower score than other industries. such as, I don't know, maybe landscape gardeners or home cleaners or you know, businesses that have a much more emotional attachment to the customer. And so so that's how we calculate the score. So why is it, to come back to your question, you know, why is it important to get this feedback? Well, it's important from the perspective of, with the detractors, you need to know immediately so that you can start the resolution process to ensure that you save that customer. Small to medium businesses, franchises in particular, have an issue with customer retention. What we've found in our research is that the typical small to medium-sized business loses 20 to 40% of their customers every year. And we all know that it costs a lot more money to get a new customer than it does to attract, than it does to keep an existing one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just hits the bottom line completely. And what we see, I think we see this a lot with entrepreneurs, particularly small business entrepreneurs, is that they're so focused on getting new customers and increasing revenue, and they measure their success or failure year by year by looking at how much their revenue is growing. And sometimes what they fail to miss is that their revenue is growing, but their profitability isn't growing at the same pace.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason for this is the fact that they're losing customers along the way, and all those sales and marketing dollars are sort of just sort of making up for the loss. And I look at sales and marketing expense as being a tax on your organization for not having loyal promoter advocating type customers. So on the one side, it's important to get the feedback because we've got to identify who those detractors are and then turn them into passives and ultimately turn them into promoter customers, which leads me to why it's important to understand who your promoters are. Promoters exhibit four behaviors. The first one is that they come back. Simply, you don't lose them. They come back.
Right.
The second thing is that not only do they come back, but they buy more products when they come back. If you're a carpet franchise, you know, the first time you deal with that customer, you might be cleaning an area rug. The second time you come back, you're cleaning their entire house if you've built up some trust with them. And you're taking them down a loyalty path. And that loyalty path increases the revenue and also decreases the cost of doing business with that customer each time you do business with them. The first time you're spending money selling to them, the second time they're just calling you up and you're showing up and you're doing the job. And then they start to do the third thing, which is that promoters exhibit, which is they refer you to their friends. And, you know, that's sort of all self-explanatory in terms of the fiscal effect of that. The fourth thing that loyal customers do is they give you constructive feedback. They give you that feedback, whether it's good feedback or negative feedback.
Uh-huh.
What they're doing is they are engaged in your business. They care enough about the success of your business to give you feedback. They're using their time to help your business. And so that feedback is obviously very important because it's going to help you improve. So, you know, why is it important to solicit feedback? Well, first of all, it's going to help you improve your business.
Right.
And secondly, it's actually another measurement of how well you're engaging with the customers.
Wow. Everything you just said is very powerful. I appreciate all this great information. It's fantastic. There's a famous study, Stephen. I don't know how accurate it is to this date. It's in a lot of like marketing textbooks, but they say it's like 7 to 10 times more expensive to, I guess, capture a new customer than to keep an old one. I was reading when I was researching about you guys, there was a fantastic statistic. I just want to read here. It says 64% of small and mid-sized companies, rising to 70% of larger businesses, let's see, either do not know, cannot measure, or cannot prove the return on investment from customer experience management. It goes a little deeper than that, and then it says research also shows that while larger businesses see current customers as their main main priority, SMBs would rather focus on acquiring new customers. And I never understood that mindset when you know you were talking about that. Why is that? That's small and medium sized businesses. I don't want to say they don't get it, but they can't seem to focus on the importance of keeping their customers. And they're always so focused on looking for, I think these were especially like new blood or new customers. But why is that?
You're absolutely right, and that research is right. And I've been involved in franchising, as I said, now for 6 years, selling these solutions, or bringing rather these solutions into this industry, and I've seen this. I've seen it for myself, and I put it down to sort of instant gratification.
Uh-huh.
Maybe there's a more scientific answer. I don't know, but my personal opinion is instant gratification. I think when you when you get a referral, when you get a piece of new business, it feels great. Okay,
yeah.
And it's not quite as obvious when you save a customer, because if you have a customer that's with you for 5 years, I think sometimes you sort of take for granted the decision making process that they're making. Staying with you from 1 year to the next, but you never take for granted when somebody signs a new order with you. You really appreciate it. So I sort of put it down to that, and I see it. I mean, and I see the difference now between what I was doing with NPS before and what I'm doing with NPS now. I mean, the system that I designed and created first for franchising was really just a two question, very simple, basic. NPS solution, ask one question, how likely is you going to recommend, and then ask for a follow-up. And it gave you the information for the detractors so you could follow up. But it also identified which customers were promoters, and then it enabled you to sort of post that feedback onto your website or into your Facebook fan page and refer a friend. And people were going crazy over that aspect of it. And even though if you look at it from a financial perspective, financial benefits of the retention side really outweighed the benefits of just having a referral, on a Facebook fan page or via email, for example. People sort of didn't prioritize it correctly in their own minds. And I just think it's instant gratification. And one of the things that I'm really focused on now is on that retention side, and helping people understand what they need to do to retain the customer. And I think that one of the challenges before, and I think the challenge has been that they don't necessarily know what to do with that feedback. If you get 10,000 comments coming in, you don't always know how to sift through that and say, okay, these are the three things I need to do today to stop losing customers. It's complicated sometimes. It can be complicated. We have to make that easier for people. And so the focus of what I'm doing right now is yes, we're doing all the promoter stuff, and we're doing all of the social media, all the referral things, etc. Well, what I'm really trying to help people understand right now is what are the two or three things you need to do Monday morning at 9 o'clock to make sure you don't lose those customers, and make that easy, and actually show them some numbers in terms of how many customers they're actually saving. So I'm trying to bring that instant gratification now onto the customer retention side to make it every bit as exciting as the referral side.
You guys have worked with some pretty big name franchises. The one that came to mind, or the case study that I saw, Steve, was Safelite Autoglass, and they were I believe they were a guest on our show probably about 3 or 4 years ago. Great franchise. How does franchising come into play? Because I guess, are you guys working with the franchisees? Are you working with the franchisors? And, do they have any restrictions as far as, like, using the software from the franchisee level? Because sometimes, they just have to follow the system and do whatever the franchisor says. So how does that work? What's been your experience with franchising?
Yes, Safelite is an amazing customer. We put on two annual Net Promoter conferences, one in Europe and one in North America, each year. And the most recent one in North America, you know, 500 or 600 people there, all Net Promoter guys, users, and Tom Feeney was one of our keynote speakers. He delivered a phenomenal speech. So you know, franchising is an industry which has held a lot of interest for me for 6 years.
Yeah.
And I got into it sort of quite by accident, actually. So when I was bringing my software to market, I knew I wanted to get into the SMB space. And as I was analyzing it, it sort of shocked me how many companies are franchises. And until you sort of start looking into it, unless you know, you're like, wow, this is a massive contributor to our economy.
Oh, yeah.
There are, you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people sort of employed by this. It's a significant percentage, you know, of our GDP when you compare it to you know, other industries.
Absolutely.
And it was staggering for me, and so it just became obvious that this was a land of opportunity. And so I started to form relationships with the franchisors, because the problem with the SMB industry is there's just so many companies, millions of companies,
and
you start to sell to them. I mean, you'd run out of life if you didn't run out of money. You know, there's just so many of them.
True.
So it became obvious to me that by going to the franchisors with a solution, which could be then delivered to the franchisees, was the way to go. There's a nuance with that I discovered, that there's got to be something in it for the franchisor.
Right.
And there's got to be something in it for the franchisee as well at the same time. So I've always tailored my solutions in the franchising industry with those two things in mind. What's in it for the franchise brand? What's in it for the franchisee? And if you can help both sides there, you end up with the perfect solution.
Yeah, I think that's well said, Steve. You know, it really becomes, I guess you could say, like a win-win solution, right? Because, you know, I mean, if the franchisee is doing well, then the franchisor is doing well, you know? So it does make sense. Plus to also get, I guess you could say, the endorsement or the approval from the franchisor, because I think that's why a lot of people become franchisees is, you know, they need the guidance sometimes from someone else. You know, they don't have all the answers. So I really think it's a smart move, and I can see how this can fit into franchising. What's next for you guys? I mean, if you can look into a crystal ball, like 5 years down the road, where do you see yourselves?
Well, we actually don't need to look that far to see what's coming next. I think there's a massive amount of disruption that's coming into the market, and you know we're helping accelerate that disruption. People look at solutions like this as just being a survey tool. It's a survey system. You know, you're sending a survey out to the customer. You're asking some questions. You know, how likely is it to recommend? You know, plus some other satisfaction questions, so you can determine what's going on. And then you get the response, and then you start looking at that. That is exactly what we do, and that's what, you know, almost every other company does as well. That's sort of in this space. That survey war has been won, and everybody lost except SurveyMonkey. SurveyMonkey is the winner. When it comes to just doing a survey, sending out an email, getting a response, you can go to SurveyMonkey. You can do it for free. You can ask the Net Promoter question. You can get responses. Now, what you're not going to get is some of the analytics on the other end of that to make it easy to sort of disseminate some of this information. What's happening is from a PR perspective, from a marketing perspective, I mean, that battle has been won, and SurveyMonkey won it. It's free. in terms of doing a structured survey. So the future has got to be unstructured. How do you get customer feedback without sending a survey? How do you figure out what's going on with your customers, turn that into action without a survey? Because what happens is when you get, if you take any service which is free, when it becomes ubiquitous, everybody starts using it. And so, you know, if you can use SurveyMonkey for free to start getting feedback from your customers, and every business in the world starts to use it, what happens is a 40% response rate that you were getting 2 years ago becomes a 30% response rate a year ago, which becomes a 20% response rate today, which, you know, when everybody starts getting surveys and starts to reject these things, you start getting a 5 to 10% survey, the information you're getting back becomes almost statistically irrelevant. And so when only 5 to 10% of your customers are responding to the survey you're sending out, that means, you know, 80, 90, 95% of your customers are not responding to you, but they're still talking about you. And they're talking about you in social media. They're talking about you on Facebook, LinkedIn, TripAdvisor, Yelp, Facebook, you know, you name it. All these social media platforms, they're talking about you. So the future is doing a survey without a survey. And we have a product for that that we have just launched, and it's called Spark Score. S-P-A-R-K score, Spark score. And what Spark score does is it's your social NPS. So what it's doing is it's going out there across the entire web and it's reading the social media sites that you want it to read. So if TripAdvisor is important to you, and let's say you're a hotel franchise and the things that people say on TripAdvisor is important to you, and the things that people say on Twitter and Facebook are important, you can point it to those sites. And what it will do is it will read all the comments that are being put out there across the web, and it will put a number onto each one of these comments. It will decide whether this comment is from a promoter, a passive, or a detractor. And it will then calculate a net promoter score across millions of comments which are out there on the web and give you the score. Not only that, it will consolidate all these comments that are out there into one place. And it doesn't do it just for you. If you want to do this for your competition as well to see what their Spark score is, if you want to do it for the industry and see how you perform and see the best performing and the worst performing companies in the industry, all of that is available as well. And we believe that the future really is in these in this sort of unstructured survey. So, you know, for now, you know, absolutely, we have our survey product, our Net Promoter product, and it's going like gangbusters. I mean, we can't believe you know how many the rate at which this is being adopted in the market. We're growing very rapidly. It's going great. And what's happening though is, you know, we're seeing more and more people saying, "How do I get the feedback from all these social media sites and build it into my conventional survey process?" So what we're seeing is right now people continuing with their conventional surveys as we're doing.
Right.
We're also seeing this interest being generated on the social media side, and very shortly, I think you'll see people switch over to a completely a social media-based survey system along the lines of Spark Score. And currently, we are the only company that is delivering this kind of product and calculating a Net Promoter Score from your social media comments across the web.
Wow, that's fantastic. It's very powerful. What's the best way that our listeners can get more information on all your services, Steve? Are there any websites they should go to?
Yes, absolutely. You can go to satmetrics.com.
Satmetrics.com, okay.
And we also have a website called netpromoter.com, which not only gives you information about Net Promoter in general, but also connects you with other people who are using Net Promoter around the globe.
Yeah, and you would appreciate this. I actually take my students on the Net Promoter website during the lesson. You know, we have our online seminars. We go to Net Promoter and we look at it, we talk about it, and so again, you'd have no idea of knowing that. But yeah, it's just part of a big lesson, you know, for a lot of our classes at Kaplan University. So that's why I was so excited to, you know, finally have the chance to talk to you. And you know, I'd really like to invite you guys back next year, Steve, as you guys continue to grow and talk about some of those great new services that you guys are providing. I think it's very exciting what's going on, and I think you're going to make a very big impact, and you already have in the franchise community. So that's fantastic.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Steve. Have a great day today, and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Franchise Interviews. For over 4 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Check out our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi everyone, this is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews now almost 4 years, and during that time we've had some incredible quotes on our show. Today you're going to get to hear from two franchisees to the Cartridge World franchise opportunity, and we like to call them franchipreneurs, entrepreneurs who actually purchased a franchise. And I thought they really hit the nail on the head with their advice to aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise. They started off with the importance of working hard. You know, I think a lot of times when people are thinking about buying a franchise, that they may think it's going to be a little easier than going into their own business, and certainly not true at all. I mean, a common theme on our show, you know, whether we're talking to a franchisor or a franchisee, is they emphasize that the first year, especially the first year, is going to be a lot of hard work. They also talk about the importance of networking early, the importance of family support, which I think is very, very important, and also the importance of having enough capital to, again, get through that first year and that second year. It's going to be a lot of work. So I think you're going to enjoy this edition. And again, we'll see you again soon with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising from Franchise Interviews. Here we go, and enjoy.
It is a wonderful part of the business, just meeting people and getting to know them and being able to help them out.
What advice, Norm, would you give to an aspiring entrepreneur looking to buy a franchise or, say, for example, Cartridge World? Now you've been through the whole process, training, owning a few stores. What advice would you have someone now listening thinking of Cartridge World?
first of all, you have to understand that you're going to work hard. It's your own business, and it's going to do as well as you are willing to work hard. Learn as much as you can about the marketplace and about your customer base. Network early. Get out there and meet people. Set the stage for when you're actually opening the business.
Right.
And understand the financial aspect of the business. You can't come in undercapitalized because it may take you a while to start generating some cash flow, and you have to be able to continue to run your business, to market and to advertise. Let people know you're out there.
Very good points. How about you, Jeff, on that point?
I agree with everything that Norm said, but you really have to do your homework. If you set your mind that you want to be a franchise owner, of course you look at different business models and you choose the model that you think is good and will make sense for you now into the future. To me, it was very important to look for a business model that wasn't just a hot topic for today, something that was gonna carry on and be successful for years to come. And then I took on a franchise coach, as I mentioned earlier, and
right.
found out a lot of things that I didn't know. I mean, networking for sales is one thing, but networking to understand what you're in for is another thing that's sincerely important. Setting your business plan and your goals is as catamount important. And understanding, as Norm had said, your financial needs. My franchise coach was not only interested in the fact that I wanted to be involved in a franchise, but he wanted to know it was my family behind it. Because you really need to have people behind it. Because as Norm said, this is a 24/7, even if your store isn't open 24/7,
right.
It's a 24/7 thinking process in gearing up and ramping up your business.
Absolutely. Jeff and Norm, we have about like 30 seconds.